to open the windows of heaven. Thank you once again for your giving. It means so much to this work, so much to me, so much to the kingdom, and so much to God. I will thank you Sunday after Sunday. God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Because you have honored me, I will honor you, saith the Lord, and I will bless you with a blessing. For I have promised it in my word, I've purposed it in my heart, and I'll bring it to pass with my power. Yea, saith the Lord, I will bless thee even in the time of famine. I will bless you in the time of drought. I will make a way, as you say, where there seemeth to be no way, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know he'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way is not a scripture, but it certainly is scriptural. That's why God said, as you say, it's something that I honor. Praise God. God is good today. Heavenly Father, you said if we enter into a house and we're received as your servants, let your blessing, our blessing, which, Lord, is to in your name to bless that household. Father, I have the privilege to do that. For, Lord, I come into this house, and in the hearts, people open to receive your word, Father, as it's written in the scripture and presented through the Holy Spirit's anointing. So, Father, my blessing, Lord, is your grace, your love, your provision, your protection. And, Father, such as I have, I give this congregation. In the name of Jesus, bless them when they go out. Bless them when they come in the city and in the field. Let blessings come on them and overtake them. Bless them to be a blessing. We'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone that will receive the blessing said, amen. Almost everybody wants to be blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's always a few folk that are just still confused about it all, but we're working on you. Praise God. And working with you, hopefully, today. Amen. Everybody say the blessed Holy Spirit. Wow. I love to talk about the Holy Ghost. How about you? I love to talk about Jesus first. In fact, I would, as we talk about the things of the Spirit of God, I want to remind you that Jesus should always have the preeminence in everything that we do. Well, the Holy Ghost is here today. Praise God. And he's here to accomplish, and he beat me here. I'm so glad to report. Amen. And there's some things that he wants to accomplish today in this meeting, and I want him to have his way. Praise God. Well, I'm looking up some scriptures here that we can put together as the Lord kind of changes some of the message today. But that's okay with me. I'd rather have his will than just go through the service. Praise God. Hallelujah. So bear with me for just a moment. We'll mark these few scriptures that he wants us to use, and we'll see where the Lord is going to take us. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost for a little while today. As I am around in ministers' meetings, I become very aware of what preachers are talking about that lead churches. And there's something that I always look for, something my ears kind of perk up to hear. And because we come up with our ideas, our innovations, we use our ingenuity, we read books on how to do this and how to accomplish that. And I'm not big on how to get all this done books, because seven churches in the book of Asia, no particular formula would work for every church. Each church got a different message. You don't go down and preach healing to a church that God says that Jezebel is doing the teaching. Amen? You bring a healing minister in that church, you got the wrong minister there and the wrong message. Some people said God only called them to teach faith. I can't find that anywhere from cover to cover. Because that person couldn't minister to any of the seven churches of Asia. Seven churches of Asia is now modern day Turkey. That's where they were. Amen. And each one of them, when Jesus spoke to them, he gave them a distinctly different message to address the needs of that particular ministry and congregation. Can you say amen? Each letter to the seven churches began with, to the angel of the church. Now, I like to think that I'm not in this by myself, that the Holy Spirit is here, Christ is here, God is here, and the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear the Lord to deliver them. Amen. I like to think of angels. And when I think of angels, I don't think of fat babies with wings. Everybody say Valentine's Day doesn't represent the angels of God. Amen. Amen. You see a little baby with a bow and arrow, you know, and he's shooting Pamela in the heart. So when she sees me, you know, Cupid type of angels. No, these are seraphim and cherubim. And they are mighty. Amen. The angels are here. But when it said to the angel of the church, each letter from John that was written in the book of Revelation, beginning with the second chapter, amen, is to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Pergamos, to the angel of the church. It always begins with an address to an angel. And yet, who got the letter? The pastor. Because angel, as it's used in the book of Revelation, is the messenger. Everybody say the messenger. By the way, there's different classes of angels. There are messenger angels. Gabriel is a messenger angel. Gabriel came to bring a message to Daniel in the Old Testament. He came again to bring a great message to Mary in the New Testament. Gabriel clearly is a messenger angel. Everybody say a messenger angel. Ah, but there's another angel who sometimes people kind of associate with Jesus himself, and he's called Michael, the archangel. In fact, when Gabriel was sent to give an interpretation to Daniel, because he didn't understand everything he was seeing in the book of Daniel, the Bible said that the prince of Persia held him up for 21 days. Amen. If you don't believe that you've got a battle to fight, if you don't believe there's a warfare, amen, a dispatched angel by the name of Gabriel, a mighty messenger angel to the nation of Israel and to us, he's dispatched to clarify, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Angels had to work a lot harder before the Holy Ghost was given. Can you say amen? God didn't have to send angels to get the New Testament made. Amen. He spoke and to men by the Holy Spirit, and holy men, as the Spirit of God moved upon them, wrote. Can you say amen? It's like a God taking a man and using him like a pen, praise God, to write his will and purpose, amen, and then seal that book, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, it's powerful. But in the heavens there was a battle. And the angel of the Lord left heaven, headed for earth, and the prince of Persia. I've read the history of that time, and there was no prince in Persia at the time of that writing. So it wasn't a physical, by the way, just to let you know, no authority on the earth through man can stop an angel sent by God. Amen. And the Bible said this thing happened between heaven and earth. Somewhere between heaven and earth, two angels came into conflict. Angels that were cast down into this world, one of them that ruled over Persia. And for 21 days, Gabriel, who was anointed and appointed to be a messenger, he couldn't come any further. Now, during the 21, how many knew God? How many know God was well aware of this? How many know God could have done something at any time? But he didn't. Because he was testing the man that the message was going to be given to. Because you don't give a message as vital as the book of Daniel to a quitter. Amen. You don't give it to a man that's spiritually irresponsible. You don't give it to a man that says, if I don't feel or see or sense anything for a little while, I'm going to give up and give up on the whole thing. You give it to a man that says, I'm not going to eat. No pleasant bread until I have the answer and the revelation so I can write it down. Can you say amen? So God purposely waits for 3 weeks and he tests the mettle of the man he's going to use to write a book. And let me tell you something about the book of Daniel. I believe the book of Daniel is going to be a key book in the salvation of the nation of Israel. I believe during the time of the Antichrist, amen, when that first 3.5 years and that temple is rebuilt and he desecrates the temple, and they realize, you know, that they need to go back to the scriptures to find out what's happening and what to do. I don't believe they're going to turn to the book of Revelation. I believe they're going to eventually get there. But you know where I believe they're going to be? I believe they're going to go back to the book that they do believe, to the prophet they do believe. I believe they're going to go right back to the book of Daniel. And I believe the seal to the nation of Israel. You know, because when Daniel wrote it, he said, it's not for now. Seal it. For when? The time of the end. But when you get in the time of the end, the seal is going to come off the book of Daniel. And you know what they're going to see in the book of Daniel? They're going to see this Antichrist, and they're going to see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can't give that to a quitter. Somebody's got to commit and stay committed. And listen to me, Pentecostal. If you don't feel no goose pimples after you pray, and if you don't see any manifestations after you pray, and if it seems like heaven is brass and God isn't listening after you pray, pray anyway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you fast and you don't see a breakthrough, if you fast and it seems to go in the opposite direction, if you fast and you don't feel anything but hungry and weak, fast anyway. Because things are taking place that we don't see or feel. Can you say amen? You couldn't see this. I love how angels are manifesting. We're not aware. Elijah, in the story of Elijah, the Bible said that Elisha and his servant, that there's an enemy constantly coming to destroy God's people. This great army comes up against God's people, and they want to catch the Israeli army in an ambush. And they get ready, they hide, they're ready to come down on them in a surprise attack. God reveals it to Elisha. Elisha goes and tells the king. Can you say amen? He says, they're here. They're ready to attack. King goes another direction with his army. They say, second time it happens, amen, they call all their leaders of war together and say, somebody is a snitch. Somebody is tipping off. Amen. And he's ready to roll heads because somebody is tipping off. We got a snitch among us. No, they didn't. God was just watching all this. Telling the prophet, can you say amen? So one of the men said, you know, we don't have no snitch. We don't have no snitch. There's a God in Israel. And he's telling this prophet. And he's telling the king. So the guy says, well, that's easy. Let's get that guy and eliminate him. Kill the messenger. Come on, kill the messenger. Listen, I've been in ministry for all these years, and I'm going to tell you the devil is committed to stopping the messenger. Because then he's going to stop the message. Can you say amen? All right. So he says, so they surround this one man. An entire army surrounds one man at night, his tent. And he gets up. It's okay. We got it. We understand. It's a cell phone thing. Amen. But listen, they're involved. They know this story. Listen. Amen. They surround this guy. And he gets up in the morning. The first one up is the servant to the servant. It gets up, and what he wants to do is make a fire and prepare the meal. He gets up first, and as he's gathering the wood for the meal, he looks, and in every direction he looks, he sees an entire army surrounding these two men. And he runs back in, tells it to his master, says, Master, how shall we do? And without even looking himself, he said, there's more with us than there is with them. Amen. See, we can preach all day long, but unless your faith and my faith arises to the point where we begin to look at things through the eye of faith and accept things that we do not see as more permanent and real than the things that we do see, God can't comfort us even though angels are all over the place. So he said, He told him that, and since he didn't see anything, it didn't help a bit. He's still shaking. He's still trembling. Because all he can see is the arrayed army against the two of them. What are we going to do? And you know what Elijah prayed? He said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. I don't need to see. I know the angels are round about. But he does need to see, because he's about to have a nervous breakdown here. Open his eyes and let him see. And suddenly the spirit realm became made visible unto him. And he said, surrounding the army that was surrounding them was an army of angels and chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an incredible thing to happen. Amen. And now the guy suddenly says, yeah, amen. Wouldn't it be great if God just let us look into the spirit realm sometime? Amen. Let me give you a rule of thumb, a spiritual rule of thumb that you always go by. There's more with us than there is with them. No matter how hopelessly outnumbered we may seem, there's more with us. It doesn't care how many minions there are in hell that array against us. There's more with us than there is with them. As Hezekiah said, the same thing. With them is the arm of flesh. That's all they got, is their armaments and their weapons of war. But with us is the Lord our God. He it is that shall fight for us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he did. Oh, by the way, how did he fight for them? He sent an angel while they were sleeping. And 185,000 troops didn't wake up. And the king did wake up, because God wanted that king to know there's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Iran building a nuclear weapon set for the destruction of Israel. They're going down the wrong road. Bolstered by the fact that Israel is losing. And listen, don't get me wrong. I don't always agree with Israel's politics. They have people in there and they do things that are wrong. I don't always agree with ours either. I'm a patriot. Amen. I love my country. But I pray hard for my government. Can you say amen? I think you ought to get a bumper sticker to that effect. I'm really praying for our government. We should be. We're told to be. But listen to me really carefully. Amen. Those angels were round about. Gabriel was a messenger angel. Oh, by the way, let me finish that story simply for the sake of this disc that we're making. You know the end of it, how it ends up. Angels were there, but angels did nothing until the prophet spoke in faith. When he spoke in faith, they had already... See, God is way ahead of us. God has prepared our victory while we were sleeping. Can you say amen? While the enemy was arraying against us, God was surrounding the enemy, ready to dispatch those angels, and he's already dispatched them. There's actually a scripture that said, I am so committed to the victory of my people, when they are right with me, it will come to pass before you pray, I will answer. Why? Because he knows you're going to call on him. He goes ahead and gets ready for the answer and gets the answer ready. Can you say amen? Before they even pray, I'll hear it. Praise God. Because I see them praying and I'm ready, amen, to come through in their behalf and defend them. I'm committed to their victory. Praise God. My name is associated with them. Their defeat is going to besmirch my name. Praise God. That's why David said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Not in the name of David or Saul, but in the name of the covenant God. Hallelujah. Iran's going down a road with a headstrong, adamant attitude. I will destroy Israel. He sees himself as a key player in prophecy concerning the Islamic faith. He sees himself, Abimajad or whoever he is, he sees himself as a man that is going to bring to a holy war that is going to culminate in Islam spreading over the entire earth. He sees himself as one anointed and appointed to destroy Israel. And he's committed to that. If he drags down his people and his nation, he's a crazy man, inspired by the devil. Keep your eye on these events in the last days. God is committed, amen, to his people. They're not always right, but they're God's people. Amen? Amen? And right now, they're losing a lot of the allies and a lot of the world opinion. They're actually becoming going to have to eventually stand on their own, according to Ezekiel. They're not going to have the support of many nations. They're going to look like they're so vulnerable. It'll be a piece of cake for an allied army with Russia and the Middle East to come down and just take it and destroy it and divide the spoil. The Bible said when they come down from the north, they're going to come against a people that looks like they have unwalled cities. You see, all they can see is people's armaments and allies. They can't see. They can't see beyond that. They can't see what's really waiting for them down in Israel when they decide we're going to take them out. Can you say amen? That king said, we're going to take him out. We'll bring a whole army. He can't go anywhere. But God said, no, you're not. You can only see two men. There's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's more to this than just you and me and all of the wheels that turn that create history. There is an eternal purpose at work, an eternal plan in place, an eternal God in ultimate control of those who put their trust in Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We better get our eyes lifted above these little bitty Pentecostal playthings. We're turning church into a playhouse. We're in the most momentous, prophetic, historical time that the church has ever been in. And we need to look around and understand that we are people of destiny and we are in the kingdom for a time such as this. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Wow! Say, Brother Venable, how can you say that? You don't have a mega church. You don't have a television ministry. Oh, no, but I'm one of many. I'm one of many. I'm one of many. How do I, because that's not on the air so we can get money to stay on the air. I'm not a glorified fundraiser. I'm one of those that has had my spirit stirred to recognize we're in that time that God has called us to. We're in that place. And in the time of trouble and crisis, when the time that silver and gold is meaningless, people are going to want to hear a pure word from the Lord. Amen. And God's going to bring it through those that have been faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My message to people like me that haven't seen the mega church or anything like it. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I still believe I'm in the kingdom for a time such as this. I would have turned it loose years ago if I thought what I was doing was insignificant. To be frank with you, it's not worth it for the pressure and the trials and the test unless there's a significant work being accomplished in the kingdom of God. Amen? They don't see what's about to happen. When Russia decides to do this, and we'll get back to the angel thing in a minute and the message to the church. But there are messenger angels. And there are warrior angels. And it was a warrior angel. And we wouldn't be stretching the scripture or doing any injustice if we didn't identify that angel that leads all of the warrior angels. Michael, the archangel. Down in Israel, a warrior angel led an army of angels. And they surrounded while they slept. God watched them set up that ambush, and he sent angels around them. But here's something I want you to really get today. Nothing was happening. Their deliverance was not all on God's part. Somebody had to stand up and declare. Yes, sir. Amen? Nothing happened. And I want to submit to you, nothing would have happened unless that man stood up in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That giant wouldn't have fell. God would have said, oh, he's about to hurt my people. Let me take care of that. No, he had a man go out and face him. And the man told him, today you're going to fall. Today you're going down. You're coming at me with sword and spear, but I'm coming toward you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why bring David down? Why bring a shepherd boy down? Why bring him down? Because God, the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself mighty and strong and powerful in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is looking for a trust that is absolutely, unqualifyingly, absolutely, committedly perfect. That it's all God and none of us. Amen. We're not talking about a perfect faith where you give credit to your faith. That's imperfect faith. He's looking for a heart that says, without you, I can't do anything. I don't need Saul's armor. I don't need this. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, not even the power of your faith. It's the power of his spirit. Can you say amen? His spirit. I want to hear some credit given to God. I want to hear somebody that leans totally on his spirit. If the mountain moves, his spirit moved it. Your faith didn't move no mountain. Your faith moved the hand of God. Amen. And God moved the mountain. I don't even read books on mountain moving faith. Your faith don't move no mountain. Your faith turns God loose on that mountain. Otherwise, when it moves, you're going to say, can you imagine Moses and God telling him, what do you have in your hand? He's up against the Red Sea. And God says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses says, a rod. He says, then stretch it out. He stretches it out. And the sea parts. And he says, oh, boy, do I wave a mean rod. No, man. It's a stick without the anointing. The man holding his arm up with the stick in it ain't going to do nothing without God's spirit moving. Can you say amen? The faith is in God, not in your ability to hold out the stick. And not in the stick. Can you say amen? I love when preachers that see great victories give the credit to God and not their faith. Amen. Amen. They want to spread his fame and not their own. Can you say amen? Van Nuys, California, pastor, they went from 150 to 5,000 real quick. And now they minister, I guess, in a week's time to upwards of 30,000 people. Not just in the one service, but in their varied ministries. Plus the radio that goes out. Pastor Jack Hayford. 150 people came, or 100 people rather, for history of the church. And he said one day that he walked down in the basement because it was chilly in California in the winter. He went down to adjust the furnace to make sure it was good for the Sunday morning service. He said, when I got down in the basement of the church, there was smoke. I saw smoke as I descended. And he said, I thought, fire. And then I suddenly realized there was no smell to the smoke. And he said, then I began to experience the presence of God. And I realized, this is not smoke at all. And nobody's smoking in the boys' room. Can you say amen? Amen. He walks a little further down the steps. He feels more of the presence of God. And he realizes this fog down in here is the glory of God. He's struck dumb. He can't tell his wife about it. He sleeps all night long, gets up the next morning. He can't say a word about it. He's just overwhelmed. He's in awe. Can you say amen? He said suddenly, as he watched people gathering, people he didn't know from Adam's house cat. They had had no big thrust toward the community, no big handing out of any tracts or anything. Suddenly people showed up that Sunday that had never been there before. And people came to Christ that Sunday, amen, that had never walked the aisle before. Can you say, amen? And he said that began, he said God decided to put his glory, to let his glory rest upon this place and this. He said, and for me to write a book on how to build a big church would be like Moses saying, let me teach you boys how to wave a rod. Can you say amen? No, it was God from the beginning. It was God throughout it. Amen. How did the church grow in the New Testament? Who added? Who added? Who added? Who added? Was it man's ingenuity? Man's plans and schemes to somehow get a hold? No, the Lord added. They gave themselves to what? To fasting and to prayer. Say amen. And to the preaching and proclaiming of God's word. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. It's never might nor power, not even the power of your faith. Your faith is supposed to be in God, not in your ability to believe. So that when victory comes, God gets the credit. There's a man, I forget his name, but in history, he's the first American to plant the American flag upon Mount Everest. And he's in National Geographic, Time Magazine, Newsweek. He's there. He is the man down known in history as the first man, just like the first man that walked on the moon. He planted the American flag on top of Everest. But the reality is that in that thin air, totally exhausted, 30 or 40 feet from the top, he gave out. He couldn't take another step. But his guide that was with him, that was used to the mountains, used to breathing the thin air, went up to the peak and hauled his bohunkus up there. Is it okay to say bohunkus in church? I just did it. I got to either repent or go on. Can you say? He hauled him up there. Can you say, man? He hauled him up there. And if he hadn't hauled him up there, he wouldn't have got there. But the Sherpa guide that he had paid to guide him up the mountain didn't get the credit. The man who planted the flag got the credit. Ta-da! But if it wasn't for that one, he would have never made it to the top. He would have got so close, and yet his strength would have failed, and he would have been defeated. Can you say amen? We got one, amen, that is given to us. Amen. Victory in the Christian life is God provided. Can you say amen? Oh, but whether it be an angel, whether it be the Holy Spirit, amen, God has not left us defenseless. He's not left us alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of God is within us, and the Spirit of God is with us. And I was going to talk about the Holy Ghost, but I'm still talking about angels. But we'll finish these angels, and we'll be ready to talk about the Holy Ghost some more. Hallelujah. I go in the Christian bookstore. How-to books are a dime a dozen, only they're going to cost you $15. Can you say amen? But to me, they're still a dime a dozen. The only how-to book we need to get back to, if it's not based on God and His sovereignty and His authority and His power, and He's the only one, thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, is your faith in that somewhere? Is your ability, your gifts, and your anointing somewhere there? I'm looking at people that think you're a hot shot because you spoke in tongues. You're a hot shot because you got great faith. Honey, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed and it was pure and it was focused on a person instead of yourself, you would say to this mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart that what you say will come to pass. Why? Because you know what God's going to do if it's in His will and it's in His way. If it's in His will, because it's in His way, you can tell it to move and not doubt it's going to move, and it don't take a mountain of faith to move a mountain. Faith is a grain of mustard seed in God who moves mountains is all you need. I like that old song they used to sing, you don't need a whole lot. You just need to use every bit you got. Faith, faith, faith. just a little bit of faith. Can you say amen? Can anybody ever heard that song? Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. You just got to use every bit you got. Can you say amen? Why? Because your faith is in God. And God has the power. God has the might. It's never by might nor power. Not even the power of your faith, but the power of your God. Hallelujah. It's in His purpose and it's in His way. It's going to move. Oh, don't give Him a hand clap. Give him a real praise hand clap. Hallelujah. We're almost done here today. The prophet goes out and he says, Lord, smite this army, I pray thee, with blindness. And let me just say this about that. The primary expression of faith is in prayer. Because prayer puts you dependent on God, not just the force of your faith. Prayer always. Who are you praying to? Yourself? Your faith, your ability. No, you're praying to God who hears and God who answers. He said, Lord, I pray thee, smite this army with blindness. And suddenly they go blind. Those angels didn't destroy them. They were there to carry out what the prophet prayed in the purpose of God. And they all went blind. The angel touched. You know, an angel touched men trying to destroy Lot's. The angels that visited Lot, they came, and the angel just waved his hand and went blind. And there they are, blind, helpless, blind, afraid, terrified. Because not only did the blindness come, but I believe there was a sense. There's a supernatural thing happening here. Amen? And the prophet walks up before this mighty army and says, where you want to go, essentially. They said, home. We don't want to fight no more. All the fight's out of us. We don't want to kill no more, pillage anymore. We want to go home. We want to get out of here. He said, I can see. Follow me. And you can see this mighty arrayed army with their hand on each other's shoulders, and he leads them to the king of Israel. He says, there they are. God's delivered them into your hands. There they are. You know what the king of Israel says? He says, well, you know something? We could destroy this whole army right here. And you know what that would probably do? It would probably inspire other young soldiers to come again in the future against Israel. They would have died as a martyrdom. They wouldn't have seen that God was in it. He said, send them home like they are. Send them home, all of them blind, with no battle wounds at all. And they'll know that something happened down in Israel that another army didn't do. They'll know there is a God in Israel. And He's not the God of these pagan places that can't help nobody. Amen. Eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, and hands that can't help. Can you say amen? There's a living God. You can't see, but believe me, there's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let them know that. I want them to know that. And the renown of the God of Israel begin to spread. Not only did they say, who has a God like our God, but the nations around them said, who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon Him for. Can you say amen? That's the power of heaven's resources that is available to covenant people. And that involves you and me. You know what the Bible said about you? The angel of the Lord. Do you fear Him today? That means to, I want to clarify that word. It doesn't mean to dread Him. Amen. It means to reverence Him with deep reverence, with awe and affection. Amazing that you can stand in awe of Him and deeply reverence Him and love Him, because He is a God that has reached out to you in such love and devotion and tenderness. As mighty as it is, I stand in awe of Him, but I don't dread Him. In fact, I want to come into His presence. I'm drawn by His love into His presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But the Bible said that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him to deliver them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If we stay close to God and committed to God and we fear Him, Hallelujah. He said, angels are at your disposal, not for you to tell what to do, but to carry out my will and purpose concerning you. Can you say, man, you don't command angels. He commands angels. I've heard people say they did. It's not in the Bible. And it puts man on a God level. And man is not in the God class. Because you can't create nothing. And nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Can you say amen? And apart from Jesus, he said, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. You can't take credit for anything that he does through your life. And I can't either. Because apart from him, what can we do? Nothing. That means without Jesus, the force of your faith is fooey. It's nothing. It's nada. Some people teach a message that brings in a lot of money, so they build a big thing, and they talk about their faith. And if you give me enough money, I can build a big thing. And it won't take God either. I can hire a contractor, and if I got the bread, I can pay for it. And it don't necessarily mean God's in it if people give me the money. But if somebody gets truly saved, God did it. If somebody gets genuinely healed, God did it. If through the name of Jesus a demon is dislodged and cast out of someone he's bound, God did it. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, if we don't compromise the word and we build something here for God, God will have to do it. It won't be because we've pulled some strings, ingratiated ourselves to some businessmen, chummed up to somebody, or compromised the word, or sold some product. Can you say, man? Say, Brother Ben, we're going to have a yard sale to, you can have a yard sale to go to Disney World. You can have a yard sale to for any program you want for the young people, but not to pay the bills of the church. Come on, honey, and come on. God don't want the leftovers in his house. God don't want your old junk for Jesus. Not for Jesus. I sell junk for other reasons. Amen. But not for Jesus. Jesus, don't get my junk. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? You know what? He's a mighty God. He's a God to be honored. He wants us to honor him with the junk. Stuff we couldn't use, know how. No, honor him with the first fruits of all your increase. He said, I'm a mighty God. Don't treat me like some second class God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, I'm a mighty God. I'm to be feared and I'm to be honored. But if you honor me, I'll put angels in charge of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, the battle will never be yours. I'll take up the fight and I'll defend you. Can you say amen? Honor the Lord. And he'll honor you, praise God, and he'll honor me. Well, we got to close. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1, and we'll close. And 2. Here's a man that says, if we don't have God in this fallen world, it doesn't matter if we become as rich as Solomon became, as wise as he became. It's vexation of the spirit. It's vanity. All of it. So this is kind of depressing when you look at it without God. What does he say? So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. You ever looked at the television screen of Darfur and some of these places and these little kids? And you look at the massacres of people where in the political wars around the world, and these ethnic cleansing situations where a million people die while the world literally turned their head. You saw the Hotel Rwanda. It's an eye-opening movie how America and all the rest of the nations turned their head while 1 million men, women, and children were killed and hacked to death with machetes. And the whole world decided it's not our problem. And this guy looking at the world with the enemy causing such carnage. He said, I didn't just look at the oppressions, but I looked at the people who were being oppressed, that they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, guess what? There was power. They were powerless against them. Wherefore, I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. He said, you're better off dead than to live under the boot heel of these oppressors and have no power against them. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants all the power to be on the oppressor. And he wants to rob the church of the true power of Almighty God so that we are impotent and we have no power and they have all the power. We got preachers today so well qualified, they don't need the Holy Ghost, they think. I'm selling books and tapes, and I am so popular, and I have such influence, I don't need the Holy Spirit. They're not only losing the power, they're losing the only one who can guide them into the truth that's written in this book. And they become blind leaders of the blind. And all the faith can only produce material things that money can buy. We can't see demons cast out, and we can't see people born from above, and we're not seeing bodies healed and people delivered and set free from the oppressor. But Jesus was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Peter preached this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you say amen? And then Jesus comes along and says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Can you say amen? And then he sends them, amen, another one like himself, amen, in the scripture. He sends a comforter. He sends a paraclete. You know what paraclete means? It means one who stands in behalf of another. And we generally use that term for a barrister or an advocate. But it's really not perfectly applied to the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is the advocate with the Father. Can I give you one more scripture before we close? Let me tell you this is too good to miss. In the book Healing of the Masculine Soul, and brother, you can come, we're going to close in just a moment. In the book Healing the Masculine Soul, Gordon Dalby had a real insight. He said, when Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper, he uses the Greek word paraclete. That was an ancient warrior's term. Everybody say a warrior's term. See, you can't have Jesus doing the advocacy and the Holy Spirit doing it. I know he makes intercession within us, but Jesus is the full-blown intercessor to the church. It's always Jesus. He's the high priest that ever lives to make intercession. Can you say amen? So you can't just give that to the Holy Spirit. But paraclete was an ancient warrior's term. Greek soldiers went into battle in pairs. They didn't just go as a disassembled group of people, but they had a battle partner. Everybody say a battle partner. So when the enemy attacked, they could draw together, back to back, covering each other's blind side. If you fought a Greek army, you didn't single out people out there. You had to deal with two people guarding each other. I will not leave you without a battle partner. I know you're going to have a real battle down there, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. Paraclete, can you say amen? And he will be with you in this battle. He will be in you. You say, brother, what about his grace being sufficient? Honey, if you are depending on an acronym for grace to take you through these battles, you're going to fail. God's riches at Christ's expense is not something you can chant and win battles with. Grace has provided an open door for God, the Holy Spirit, to live in you. Because without the grace and mercy of God, he can't do it. You'll never be that holy. But the blood of Jesus has opened a door for grace that has allowed the Holy Spirit to come within a temple that in no way is holy enough for him without God's grace and mercy, giving him the permission and the authority and giving you the right for him to enter. How many know you're not that holy? But has He come? Yes. Does He indwell? Yes. And He's here. When God said, His grace is sufficient, He meant that God has sent Him one that could now come to Him because of grace. Amen. That can mediate the presence of Jesus to Him when He's alone and manifest the power of God in Him when He is weak. Can you say amen? And to give Him a battle partner, praise God. Amen. How's grace going to help you just having a working knowledge, a fundamental knowledge of the theology of grace? Grace has to provide for a manifestation of God's presence. Otherwise, we're still powerless. We've got a head full of theological knowledge, but we don't have any manifest presence in our life. And there are churches so good at doing church, it don't matter if God shows up. Everybody's been entertained. They've been enthused. They've been lifted up. The choir has sung, wow! And the praise team has went, whoopee! And everybody's sitting and watched the whole thing go down. The dancers have come out and interpretive danced, and they've danced. And everybody said, that was really neat. And the devil's sitting back saying, fine, dance all you want, shout all you want, sing all you want. But don't get a hold of the fact that angels are all over this place. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus' name has absolute authority and dominion over the devils of hell. Praise God. Don't turn God loose in this place. Because if God gets loose in here, somebody's going to get saved before the services. If God gets loose, somebody's going to get delivered. If God gets loose, somebody's going to get set free. If God gets loose in here. So have church and make it interesting. Make it entertaining. Come in with a frown. Go out with it. Come in beat down and beat up and go out beat down and beat up. Talk about God all you want, but don't live in victory. Can you just, whatever you do, don't live in victory. Because if you live in victory, people might listen to what you're saying about God. But here's a news flash. If you don't live in victory, they don't care what you say about God. You're just like they are. And that's what he was talking about. If God don't show up, if God don't help Israel, it don't matter how much money. Amen. It don't matter how much material things. Amen. The oppressor has the power on his side. And we are powerless. Hallelujah. I don't want the devil to be exalted. I don't want the devil to be accredited. Amen. I don't want the devil to be the one that has the power while God's people try to avoid him and evade him. However, I want the power encounter. I invite it. Amen. Greater is he that's living in you and me than he that is in this world. I want to demonstrate that victory is real. And I can't demonstrate it by never being discouraged. I can demonstrate it, but when I am, depending on the one that God has sent me. Because I couldn't lift myself up by my bootstraps. But the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, my battle partner. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you come and stand with me just a minute? Hand me that sword. Hallelujah. Better yet, you wield it. I'm kind of anointed. I might start swinging that sucker, and it's a dangerous weapon. Stand on my back. Stand on my back. Stand, that's it. That's it. That's it. And go like this. So we got the everything. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. That's the Paraclete. Praise the Lord. Handamakosanda Baba. Lika Bahasata. Ekarabahosana. You can't catch me on my blind side. I don't have a blind side. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! The battle belongs to the Lord! Hallelujah! Let's stand and give Him praise! Let's stand and give Him praise! Hallelujah! 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 Glory to the Lamb! Glory to the Lamb. Number 4, I don't know which one it is, but I know it's worship. Praise.